Well, the Lord orchestrates every Sunday, and this is where we find ourselves today. Just a touch lower there, Dylan. And so as we gather, the message today is a message that really, I'll just be honest with you, is an adaptation of the memorial service message that I was going to give for Brother Bill Dedman. And when we have weather like this, I'm always prepared for Plan B, because things can change and things need to be adapted. And so initially, Brother Elijah was going to preach for us, but a little icier up their direction. And so the Lord has directed us this morning to this wonderful passage in Romans chapter 8. And I believe it'll be an encouragement to you today as we have finished out another year, and as we begin a new year. Romans chapter 8, and beginning in verse number 18, and we're going to read down through verse number 30. And if you need to put on a coat or something, that is fine as well. Hopefully, Lord willing, we'll get the heat squared away for next week. But I'm sure in some parts of the world, they're meeting in much less stellar conditions. So we'll be able to handle it. Romans 8, verse 18. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. For we are saved by hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. What a man seeth, why does he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. In Romans 8, verse 28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he did also predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that we might be the firstborn among many brethren. And moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, whom them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. And I've entitled this message, as I did for Bill's memorial service, which, as many of you know, was not able to be there. The Lord directed through all of that, and from what I hear, they read within that memorial service from Romans chapter 8. And so let's pause for prayer, and then we will move into our message. God, all glory goes unto you. All glory be to Christ. Christ, who forever reigns, eternal God, and yet you came, you became one of us, yet without sin, so that you could fully experience the things that we experience. And most importantly, you came and died in our place, and all glory does go unto you. You didn't stay in the grave, but you rose again triumphant. And you're interceding on our behalf as we gather this morning. Your work is ongoing. And we give you praise for your coming, and we pray for your coming. And all glory goes unto you for the promise and the hope that we have in Christ, the future hope to come, a hope that guides us even today, a real and a living hope. And for this hope, we give you thanks, we give you praise, as we do groan within ourselves, the things that we personally experience, the things that our fellow believers experience, the things that we are made aware of that happen in this world, our spirits groan within ourselves, longing for glory. And so, Lord, I pray that you would use this message for those who have gathered today. May it encourage us as we begin this new year. May it fill us with hope that guides us throughout this year. And Lord, I pray that you would lead and you would, Spirit of God, control me, control my thoughts, help me to communicate the word as you would have me to. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, Brother Bill Dedman will certainly go down as one of the greatest storytellers in all of First Baptist history, at least in my opinion. My favorite story that Brother Bill would like to share was the telephone booth story. And with the telephone booth story, he got a hold of an M80, he and his brother, and they attached to the end of that. I don't understand all of how it all worked, but nonetheless, they found a cigarette butt, they attached it to that, and they lit that. It became a fuse. And they left that there outside the telephone booth and eventually got home and were sitting around the dinner table when all of a sudden, kaboom, the explosion went off. Now, kids, these are not good ideas to do, okay? So, and also when you have something like that happen, you can't just immediately like bust out laughing, right? So they kind of looked at each other, very pleased at their experience. And later on in the newspaper, there was an article that reported a mysterious explosion. The funny thing was, thankfully, the guy inside didn't get hurt, but there was somebody inside the telephone booth when the explosion went off. Brother Bill had a multitude of stories. He had his own pithy sayings, and he would often say, well, funny you mention that, or that reminds me. And then he would go into another story. Bill had a gentleness. He had a meekness, a lowliness, as we talked about last Sunday, and that exuded from his demeanor and his life, even in the face of suffering. He loved coming to church. Even as an amputee, he was here when he could be. Man of great wisdom, incredibly smart, amazing recall. And those of you that had the privilege to know him, a man that most of all loved the Lord Jesus Christ with all of his heart. He loved the Word. He loved the Bible. And it was the Word that anchored him, that anchored he and Virginia in their, I think, around 55 plus years of marriage. I think they were getting close there. But nonetheless, Bill and Virginia, a testimony of faithfulness. And Bill faced many, many times of suffering, as you and I have faced suffering in our lives. And some of this suffering is physical suffering. Some of it is suffering that is connected to faith in Jesus Christ, which the longer that we live in this world, the greater the possibility of that. This particular passage in Romans chapter 8 I know that at least one time going by and visiting with Bill in Virginia, we read from this passage, and the three of us were, as could be said, were not a little comforted. This is a tremendous passage of Scripture, and it is here I want to direct us for the next few minutes. And I want you to notice once again what the Bible says here in Romans chapter 8 and verses 18 and 19. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. See, there's a paradox between living in the already stage of our Christianity and the not yet. Let me explain. We just had Christmas, and it's kind of like the kid who knows Christmas is coming, but it's only December 1st. And they've got their chains, and they're pulling off their paper chains, and it seems like Christmas will never, ever come. You know, for the child of God, the greatest Christmas ever is coming. I know what you got for Christmas, kids. I don't know what you got for Christmas. I know what some of you got for Christmas. But the presents that we receive in this life pale in comparison to the greatest gift that we receive in Christ and the greatest gift that is yet to come. There are still things that we have yet to experience, still yet to receive at the hand of God because we are children of God. But these things are promised. It's already as good as done. And so we're living in the already. It is promised, but we've not yet received everything we've been promised. We're in that not yet stage. There's a tension. There's a tension between the already and the not yet, and we are God's children through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we can claim all of the promises that are given unto His children. They're as good as done, but some of them we've yet to fully experience. And so now we live in this tension of living in the world while groaning for heavenly glory. On this journey from groaning to glory, I want you to notice that there are two major components. As we journey on, as we travel as sojourners, as we travel as pilgrims on this road, we are destined for glory. Not through any work that I have done, but God forbid that I should boast, save in the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world. All glory be unto Christ for the glory that awaits unto us. No, it is nothing of us. It is all of Him that we receive these wonderful promises. But we are marching onward to glory. And while we do, there is going to be times of groaning. And so notice with me, from groaning to glory, the very first component to understand is that there are the harsh realities of a present fallen world. Things such as New Orleans and someone getting into a vehicle, the incident there, the tragic, horrific incident, somebody getting into a vehicle and crashing into a crowd of people. That stirs within us a groan. Oh man, again? Again, Lord? How long? The Greek word translated groan here means to lament, to moan. I think we all can relate to that, can't we? Maybe it's even in maybe a smaller thing. Oh, when, you know, we let out that sigh, and I think we're expressing frustration, right? And yet there is a groaning that we experience on a grander scale. It is to lament living in this world of sin, this fallen, broken world. We're like, oh, the groanings of living under the curse. This is highlighted within the passage. Verse number 17 says this phrase, to suffer with Him Verse number 18, sufferings. Verse number 20 tells us that we are subject to vanity. Why is that? It's due to the fall of Adam. Good news is, we'll see later on, though, we're not only subject to vanity and it feels like a helplessness and emptiness, these things that we experience, but we're also subjected to hope. And we'll talk about that here in a little bit. But we have to understand that God is sovereign, and in the plan of redemption, God has perfectly orchestrated it all, even allowing evil to mar His perfect universe. Evil, the absence of good. God is not the author of evil. He cannot sin. And yet creation was made with the ability to choose. And with that ability to choose, we were not made robots. All glory be to Christ. All glory be to Christ. All glory be to Christ. We're not robotic in our worship. It flows from our hearts. And that's what God is desiring. He is desiring and He is seeking those that would worship Him in spirit and in truth from all of our hearts. And when we come to know Jesus Christ as our Savior, that desire is placed within us to worship the Lord, to give our hearts unto Him. And yet, there is that choice. He made creation with the ability to choose, and mankind chose to sin. It's not God whom we should blame. We are at fault in Adam for what we see and what we experience. The curse is a result of sin. Take a look at verse number 21 and the phrase that's given here. The bondage of corruption. Let's read the whole verse, but I want you to notice that phrase as we go through here. Because the creature itself, or we could say every creature itself, also should be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. There is this bondage of corruption. The whole of creation, all of creation is experiencing this. Things don't work the way they should work. There are tornadoes. There are hurricanes. There is evil. And there is death. And for believers and unbelievers, it rains on the just and unjust, and it storms on the just and the unjust. All creation groans and travails. Our kids are our precious gifts to each and every one of us as your kids and your grandkids. But there is some pain that's involved for those kids to enter into this world, isn't there? That's the idea here. As we look at the word, it says, I believe the word is travail there in verse number 22. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain. It's the birth pains. We're in those birth pangs. Synonymous with child labor. This is part of the curse. We're feeling this within ourselves, but aren't you thankful that from the birth pangs comes something wonderful? And Abigail's anticipating that. She's looking forward to, do we have a name? Or are we letting the name out of the bag yet? Or is that's kept secret. So we are excited for them. The birth pangs that will lead to life. And folks, we are in this point of travail spiritually. The harsh realities of living in a fallen, broken world. I think of Willie Sr. with his neck brace and the Niehoffs coming alongside of him and caring for him. I think of Laura, who she and her family today are on their way to Texas, having lost a father. And yes, there was some health concerns, but this was unexpected. I think of those of you that experience chronic pain And some of you this morning have faced incredible loss. And your life to me is a powerful testimony. And I know you would say, all glory be to Christ. To be able to continue on, though having experienced incredible loss. There are family conflicts and relational conflicts that we face in this world. All of us face. There are those health diagnoses. I think of Janice, and all of us know she struggles with that anxiety, and our hearts go out to her, and she gets that diagnosis. This is part of living in the harsh realities of a broken world. The times that we've spent at the hospital, and praise the Lord, Rachel's on a great track, and I know others have experienced far, far worse. And I know that not only from just observation and those types of things, but when you go to a hospital, that, my friends, is a stark reality of the curse of sin. And we groan within ourselves. Kids that are dealing with health issues, and there's cancer, and there's so many things. And so we groan within ourselves. He says, until now, it's at this present time when Paul, writing unto the Holy Spirit of God, and up to this present time, then in Paul's day, now in our day, we're still living under the curse, and we're longing for the reverse of the curse, are we not? We're longing for that. We groan within ourselves. And praise God, it will happen according to God's plan. It seems as if it will never end. But do not be deceived by Satan's lies. Jesus Christ will come again as He has promised. As He said, He will come. And yet not only the lost groan within themselves, but we who have the indwelling Holy Spirit of God, we groan within ourselves, and get this, we wait for the adoption. And so we wait. As they waited for the initial first coming of the Messiah, think about how long they waited, year after year after year after year after year. Will He come this time? Will He come this year? No, no, no. And then, finally, He came. And He has come. And we wait. We wait for His second coming while we groan. Bill experienced the harsh realities of a fallen world. Fact is, some experience that more than others. All of us will, but some experience it more than others. He endured a lot of suffering with, I would say, a persevering attitude. And I'm not trying to say Bill responded perfectly in every situation. He would be honest enough to say, no, I didn't always, but the testimony as a whole was a man who endured. COVID, RSV, diabetes, having a leg taken. And on that final night, as we were there, on that Sunday night, it was incredibly special. Bill talked about the fact that we're all in decay. We are born dying. We don't like to think of such a thing, but it's the reality. And Bill actually told, or Virginia actually told Bill, she said, well, fact is, Bill, you're getting old. And they had a sweetness about them in their interactions. They deeply loved each other. But there is no opt-out clause for any of us. We all are getting older. We're getting old. Some of the suffering is physical. And some of it is the sins of others. sinning against us. Some of it is living in a world where, man, things are just absolutely crushing at times. And then some of that suffering is directly related to our relationship with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Because to be a joint heir with Christ, as verse 18 says, and verse 17, to be a joint heir with Christ means that we will also share in His suffering. And that particular suffering is not just specific to the curse. It is because we're followers of Jesus Christ. And Jesus told us, if the world hate me, then the world is going to hate you. The Bible speaks much of the topic of suffering. And so the first half of the message this morning, you're saying, boy, Pastor, this is encouraging. This is really good this morning. I hope you're sticking with me, because hope is not so incredibly awesome if we don't have something that the hope is meeting or countering. And we are groaning. But what are we groaning for? We're groaning for glory. So as we're on this path, we're on this journey from here to glory, we've looked at component number one. That's the harsh realities of living in a fallen world. But notice with me component number two. That is the hope-filled reality of a future perfect world. The hope-filled reality of a future perfect world. The new heavens and the new earth, marked by glory. It's what we hope for. And maybe sometimes in your life, maybe you get to a point where you're feeling, man, is there any hope? Can I encourage you to always go back to and remind yourself there is always hope in Jesus? Don't just leave it as, oh, there's always hope. I just hope. There's always hope that's out there. There's always hope in Jesus Christ. Hope is found in Him. Anchor yourself to Christ and the hope that He gives. There are three characteristics of this hope that we have in Jesus Christ. First, notice with me, this hope in Christ saves us. Verses 24 and 25. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. But what a man seeth, why does he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. This hope that we have anchored everything. We've staked everything. We've staked our entire lives upon this hope, because it is a living hope, the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. This hope will guide us all the way until we see Jesus Christ face to face. Look with me at 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 3. Peter, an eyewitness of the resurrected Christ. He testifies of that in his writings. And look what he says here in 1 Peter 1 and verse number 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again into a lively or a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. This hope saves us. But folks, this hope spurs us onward. Yes, we're groaning within ourselves as that analogy there of childbirth. We're groaning, we're lamenting where we're at. But yet we have hope that spurs us onward through the groaning. In the face of affliction, know that glorification awaits. The hope of being glorified, groaning will lead to glorification. We will have glorified bodies. You will, I will, in Christ be delivered from corruption. There will be no more chronic pain. There will be no more cancer. There will be no more of the former things, for they will have passed away. And so we will be glorified. In verse number 30, it uses the term glorified. And notice, it's past tense. It's as good as done. Again, we're living in the already. It's promised, but we've not yet experienced it. But it is good as done. You ever had somebody promise something to you and it didn't come through? Yeah. Have we ever promised something to somebody and we blew it? Yeah. That's not the way God works. He's faithful. He's faithful to keep His promises, and He will glorify us. It tells us in verse 17, we're glorified together with Christ. And we will be because we're joint heirs. We can actually say that these things that we groan within ourselves, we're like, oh man, I hate it that person is experiencing that. And oh man, I'm lamenting in my own life. I'm experiencing this. This is what God has brought, and I groan within myself and maybe even ask why. But in that, we can call it light affliction. Not to say that it's diminished. Not that it really feels like light affliction, but because it is light affliction in comparison to eternity. You ever stop and think for a moment? I did the other day, and it kind of fries your brain a little bit. Try to think about eternity. Try to pause and think, okay, then we'll 1,000 years, and then it'll go on, and well, eventually it'll, no, on and on and on and on. Never ending glory with Christ. I think if we would focus more on eternity and the brevity of this life, it would make a profound impact in our lives. Eternity, folks. This is but a vapor. This is but a drop in the bucket. The light affliction, we can, in comparison to eternity, we can press on through it. This hope spurs us onward. Look with me at 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 17. 2 Corinthians 4, 17. Be encouraged by the words of God here. Let's pick it up at verse 16. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are, what are they? They're temporal, folks. It's passing. But the things that we do not see, the things that are not seen, are eternal. And so by faith we live. By faith we press on. By faith we walk. Not by sight, but with hope. Hope infused through the person of Jesus Christ. The Bible is not trying to make light of affliction. Paul no doubt had his fair share of hardship, didn't he? He would not say, wow, that beating, hey guys, give me some more of that. No. No. It was not light. It was excruciating. But in comparison to eternity. He said, for me to live is Christ, to die is what? Gain. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord, and Paul, forever with the Lord. Experiencing, yes, it was light affliction to be in glory with Christ. This hope saves us, this hope spurs us onward, which notice in verse number 20, the Bible says, for the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. He didn't leave us hopeless. He didn't leave us without a Savior. Yes, hardship comes. But being subjected to hardship, he also subjects us unto hope. He matches that hardship with hope. And we will be delivered from the bondage of corruption unto glorious liberty. We'll be delivered. We will escape this broken world. Verse 23 describes it as the redemption of our body. One other thing that I want us to see pertaining to this hope saves us, this hope spurs us onward, and then notice this hope is a Spirit-enabled hope. Go back in the text there to verses 26 and 27. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Any of you ever not know what to pray? You get to a point and I don't know what to do. I don't know what to pray. And when we get to those moments, be encouraged. Be encouraged that Jesus Christ Himself is ever interceding on your behalf. He said in that great high priestly prayer in John chapter 17, He said, I'm not only praying for these, but I'm also going to pray for those who will come unto me. That's you and I. Jesus Christ is ever interceding for us. The Holy Spirit of God is interceding on our behalf. Notice it says, the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. But sometimes we don't know what to pray. But sometimes you don't know what to pray. Just leave it to the Lord. God, I don't know what to pray right now. But I believe, Holy Spirit of God, that you are interceding on my behalf. And I claim your help in this time. I don't know what to pray. I'm broken. I'm hurting. And I'm crying out to you. And I'm trusting in your intercession on my behalf. I need you. I need you at this moment. And the Spirit of God will infuse us with hope. There is a verse that I have used to pray for not only myself, but as I pray for you folks as the people of First Baptist Church. And it's found in Colossians chapter 1 and verse number 11. I want you to take a look there. Colossians chapter 1. And we're also going to take a look back in Ephesians. And Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 16. So first of all, Colossians chapter 1, verse 11. We'll go back to Ephesians. But I want you to see something here. This is a prayer. And Paul says, on behalf of the church at Colossae, he is praying that they would be strengthened with all might, according to His glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. It's a good prayer for us to pray, Spirit of God, strengthen me with all might, according to Your glorious power, unto patience. God, I need patience here. I need to bear up under these afflictions. I need endurance. I want to practice long-suffering. Holy Spirit of God, strengthen me with all might, according to Your glorious power. Check out Ephesians chapter 3 and verse number 16. A similar idea here. This also is a prayer. That He would grant you according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. Can I challenge you to not only pray that for yourself personally, for your family, but to pray that for your fellow believers? Particularly those who maybe you're aware of that are going through a difficult time, and for whatever reason, maybe it's physical, maybe it's spiritual,
Maybe it's a heavy burden that they're facing. Holy Spirit of God, would you strengthen them with all might according to your glorious power? Give them patience. Give them patience to keep going when they may not feel like going on. Lord, give them that might that only you can give, that glorious might. Fill them with long suffering. That'd be a great prayer for us to pray for one another. We need that. We need the prayers of our fellow believers, strengthening us, infusing us with hope when we feel like, wow, I don't know if I'm going to be able to press through this trial. I don't know if I'm going to be able to press through this particular day. And to know that there are others praying for us, what a blessing that is. Perhaps maybe even texting that to someone. Hey, just praying for you this morning that you would be strengthened with all might according to God's glorious power. We need to bear up under the waves of affliction. Not by pulling up our own bootstraps. Not by saying, I can do this. We can do this. But to know that the Spirit of God can help us. To know that these promises are real that we speak of. As we're on this journey from where we're at now, from groaning to where we're going to be to glory, let us be reminded of, yes, there are the harsh realities of living in a fallen world. But yet us also be filled with hope. Hope. Hope that enables us to press on. Eyes on the prize, folks. Eyes on the finish line. It's Jesus. It will be worth it all when we see Christ. Do you believe that this morning? It will be worth it all when we see Christ. Everything that we have ever experienced, it will be worth it all. The journey to glory. Yes, it is marked by rugged terrain. Yes, it is filled with some battles, some storms, some heartache, and suffering along the way. But it ends in eternal glory. And so we wait, we long for that with expectant eyes on our Savior. We long for, as Virginia put it, Bill was released from his diseased body. We're going to be released one day. Released from the curse. The curse will be reversed. I finish with this, I guess, another memory from that Sunday night. That Sunday night there at Bill and Virginia's house. Sunday night actually before that, later that Thursday in the week when he would enter into the presence of the Lord. We visited, we laughed, there were tears. We did speak of the brevity and the certainty of death for all. We spoke of Christ. Bill spoke of God's goodness as he sat in that wheelchair. Why? He had hope. He had hope in the face of physical suffering. Not complaining, but the hope that his groaning would turn to glory. We sang hymns of faith and we read Scripture. And one of the Scriptures that we read, we'll conclude with this morning. I want you to go to Psalm 27. And I'm just going to read one verse from this passage. I would encourage you to read the entire chapter at another time. But we read this passage one at a time. One would read aloud, and the next one would read aloud. And it was actually Brother Bill who got to verse number 10. And this is the verse that Brother Bill read. When my father and my mother forsake me, and then I want you to notice this last phrase, then the Lord will take me up. The Lord took him up. In the Hebrew, it's will gather me. It is to take me into his care and into his keeping. You right now are in the shepherd's care. He has never left you one time. One day you will be with him and he will be with you as you will be taken up to be with him in his care and his keeping for all of eternity. From groaning to glory, there is hope. There is hope as we live in this world. And I want to encourage you this morning as we begin this new year, keep your eyes fixed on the hope that you have in Jesus Christ. We don't know what 2025 holds. God does. God's already planned it out. And we can trust Him. And we can root ourselves in a hope that is unshakable. Let's pray. God, we praise you for hope in Jesus Christ. We give you thanks that you've not left us hopeless in our sin. We thank you that as we navigate this fallen world in which we live, we can be strengthened. Strengthened with all might, according to your glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering. And so I pray that for each and every one of us. Help us as we walk in this journey of life to walk with hope, to walk in such a way that brings glory unto your name, for all glory does belong unto you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.